Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I was really frustrated with the... I don't think we valued possessions at the level we need to be a good team. That's what I just talked about. And I get it. I mean, we played really hard last night. Last night was a tough game, but every possession all year matters. And we haven't been great at that. And that's one of the things that, you know, if we're going to make it anywhere significant, they've all got to matter equally, offensively, defensively, moving it, all of those things. And I didn't think anybody was... you know, on their A game by any means tonight. And I think that, you know, we'll all just need to be better.
All right, there's the coach. 76 games into it, and you are what you've been all season long, and I'm supposed to get excited when you're going into the postseason, and you might get home court in the first round. By the way, that Pacer team, they play defense, they play hard, they're not going to give up on you. You're going to have to fight for everything. They're not that good, especially without Oladipo, but they're still going to battle you, and they're going to wear you out. So you win that series. You go six, maybe seven games. You win that series. Then you begin the next series back out on the road, first two games out on the road. You're playing a better team with a talented player, you know, with a guy that can take over a game at any given point. I don't see where there's a formula for success. I see how even the most ardent Celtic fan could look at it and say, I'm really excited about the playoffs.
But I don't think the Celtics fans are saying they're excited. I never said I was excited about this team going into the postseason.
But you envision them maybe doing... You said you could envision them going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I said I could see them, yes, going...
When did you start doing drugs?
probably about 16, but soft drugs, though. You know, just a little bit of weed. That's put here by God, right? From the earth, right? But when you look at
getting religious now,
well, you know, it's from the earth, right? So it's for you and me. When you look at this Celtics team and you look at the talent, and I'm looking at the talent that they have, and when you think about basketball, talent wins, right? And you look at the talent that they have, they're very talented, and so I could see this team making a deep run because of the talent that they have.
Cohesive talent that's on the same page with its coach and its own locker room.
But in basketball, you don't really have to have huge cohesion in basketball because one or two guys can take over a game. And when you have a guy like Kyrie Irving, he could take
over one series.
He could take over one of those games
on the road.
For a
whole playoff series, you're going to just have them. I mean, look, if Kyrie and Tatum, if these guys go off, yeah, okay. But that's what you're counting on. You're counting on them playing out of their minds to the best of their ability on a nightly basis. And what if they don't?
But when you're that superstar,
what's there
player,
then?
I remember when it was the – what was the series that LeBron went off when he was playing for the Celtics here? Remember that series? He went off for like 40 points. The Celtics were up 3-2 in the series. He ends up going off. They win game six in
Boston. That one right there made me the greatest player of all time.
They win game six in Boston, and then they end up going to they end up closing it out. I forget where it was, but LeBron carried that team. When you have a player of Kyrie's talent, he could give you that 45 points that you need on the road.
45. So you think it's going to take 45
I'm not saying that that's what it's going to take, but I'm saying when you have a superstar player like that, whether it's 30, 35, he can give you that and pick you up when you're playing on the road.
All right, let's go to the phones. Here's Mark in Connecticut wants to talk about the Celtics. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you for taking my call. Evan, you're 100% right about two guys going off and making a statement. You know, last night I was watching Anything's Possible for the second time, and it kind of refreshed my memory of the Mobutu gang and how you have to be a prime playoff team. And that team compared to this team is like night and day.
Those were seasoned veterans, Mark. Those were all-star players.
I understand that, but that's the kind of cohesiveness, and you got to have chips on your shoulder. KG had a chip on his shoulder. Ray Allen had a chip on
his shoulder. Kyrie's got a chip. Well, I mean, this whole team seems to have a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, but I don't think the rest of them, I don't think the rest of them necessarily do. This team has trouble fighting through adversity. And what do you get when you're playing in the NBA on the road? Adversity. You know, because.
They can't shoot. They can't shoot. They can't
They can shoot. I mean, they
need shooters. They need shooters. Better shooters next year than they got now. You know that, Glenn.
I think their shooting is pretty good. Their outside shooting is pretty good. I'm not as concerned about the shooting. I'm concerned about them fighting through adversity. And when you play on the road, it is far more difficult, especially for young players, to be able to do that.
So what I want to know, what I've been trying to get at, honestly, for weeks when I've had these Celtics discussions, if they can't fight through adversity, is that because Brad Stevens didn't prepare them well enough? Is that because you're saying, well, they're just young? Okay, well, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens knew when they put this roster together that these guys were young. But then, so if you're going to do the postmortem now, if you're going to say they're not going to make it, they're not going to fight through adversity, who's this on?
Evan.
Who screwed up here?
Evan, nobody screwed up. You have a collection of guys who last year, because of injury to one player in the first game and then another player two-thirds into the season, you had players who stepped up and said, oh, my God, they're giving me starting roles. Okay? So put yourself in this position. You suddenly get the opportunity to shine, to play full-time, to have a full-time employment. Okay? They'll
crazy.
Full-time employee, and you excel at it. Then suddenly they say, yeah, Evan, we're going to pull you back because we need somebody else that's coming back that's a better player than you. You could sit there and say, Coach, and he's, I know Wiggy has said this and he's been critical of the coach. I'm not sitting here telling you that the coach has been able to deal with all of these egos. It's obvious he's not. I think in the NBA, and I heard actually Mark James talking about it, that you blame it on the coach.
Mark with C. James.
Exactly. NBA is a players' league and not a coach's league. I could get the best talent, okay, and the best player, and the worst coach, and I still win the NBA championship. But I can't take the best coach and get lesser talent and win the NBA championship.
I agree with that. You can get them to play well, which we've seen Brad Stevens do plenty of times before, take average talent or to a little bit above average talent and have that team play well.
Why isn't Popovich right now atop the Western Conference? He spent the majority of the last 18 years on top of the Western Conference. Why isn't he doing it? Because his talent's not good enough.
When you don't have Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard, it's a little bit different. Yeah. But the point that I am trying to make is when you look at the Celtics team and the talent, and they're young in age, but they're not young in the sense that they haven't seen the postseason before this. You know, all those guys have went to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 last year. That's experience that they have.
Couldn't win a road game.
Right, I understand that point, Glenn. I understand that point.
Rozier's doing the same thing he did last year in the playoffs. He was terrific at home because everybody loved him. Drew Bledsoe showed up. He had T-shirts.
But guess
they had a little nickname.
Right, but guess what? You don't need Rozier this year. You got Kyrie Irving. So you know what happens when they get to the playoffs. Minutes get cut. So you're going to have guys like Kyrie who will play a lot more minutes. You don't need Rozier. You don't need those type of players that you have in the rotation now. You need guys like Jaylen Brown, guys like Jason Tatum, and guys like Al Horford to be able to give you something consistently night in and night out.
And Horford's been good. You just explained why they're in this situation, why the young kids feel the way they do, because they had the opportunity they no longer do, and they're disgruntled, whatever. Do you think that Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, whatever combination, foresaw that? Did they get out in front of it, or were they caught by surprise? Did they do everything they could, and these personalities simply were out of their reach, or were they blindsided by it? That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I think anybody's going to be blindsided. You never know.
You couldn't see this coming?
No.
No.
Because you don't know how individual personalities are going to react to it. So they're looking at it saying, Tatum was terrific last year. So we're bringing him back next year. Now suddenly some of his minutes are going to be occupied by other players, but we still expect to get an awful lot out of him, but his role is going to be different. Kyrie's going to be on the ball more, all right? And you expect to get something out of it, but you don't know until you actually see the thing play out. If you're Danny Ainge, your job is to get the best talent in the world. Now, Evan, it's going to be a totally different summer for Danny Ainge.
Because
now it's all on Danny.
But it's all on Danny.
Evan, you don't know.
You can't tell how people are going to react to success, right? You look at those young players last year. They were young players that performed well in the postseason. So that is success that they got that came out of nowhere. Terry Rozier, like you said, it was scary. Terry T-shirts all over the place. So you don't know how they're going to react. Now they get to Game 7. They play the way that they play. All those guys were playing good, and then they lose, and now you're coming into next season. It's not the same Terry Rozier that you had before he got to the postseason.
Yeah, but everybody knew that there would be more playing time for Hayward. Everybody knew there would be more playing time for Kyrie Irving.
Until you experience it, you don't know, and players like that lose confidence. If you're not – they gained – Rozier was playing with tremendous confidence last year because he was the man. They had nowhere else to go. And by the way, he wasn't getting the job done on the road. People forget that. Now suddenly you bring him into this equation. His minutes are dropped down. Brown has a different role now coming off the bench. So everything changes. And you don't know that until you actually watch all of these guys play with the other guys. Now it's on Danny Ainge in this offseason. He now knows the talent of each one of these players. He also knows which guys are willing to absorb specific roles. It's on him now to put the puzzle together. I agree with that.
Yeah,
it's on him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Someone comes to you tomorrow, says, Glenn, you're doing a two-hour weekend show and that's that. Isn't it on management at that point to make sure that you remain confident, comfortable, and feel valued in your new role?
If I voted in the poll, I would have voted for Danny.
You're dealing with human beings. You know that. So you can sit there and be confident all you want. If I'm pissed, I'm pissed. If you don't think that Tatum was a little bit pissed or Jaylen Brown or Rozier when their role changed, then you're not looking at human nature.
And that's a different scenario because you're taking somebody that had talent at one point in time. I'm busting him up.
Glenn just perked up, moved closer to the microphone.
You guys suck.
It fits your narrative perfectly, right? You felt like you were better than what you were, and that's what Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown felt because of the success that they had.
And I lived management not handling me well at all.
Last season and the postseason. So they felt like this year they were better. They were better players than how they were being treated, but their role was being saying, well, you can't play that same role that you played last year because we got Kyrie back and we got Gordon Hayward back. So we need you to kind of take a back seat a little bit, but wait a second. In your mind, you're like, wait, how am I taking a back seat? I'm a great player. Look what I did in last year's postseason. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's the way they're thinking.
I just think that's human nature. I think you feel that way, and everybody tells you how great you are, and they have T-shirts, and you have your own nickname, right. And you know everybody talked about Tatum around here. The love for Tatum around here, everywhere he went, people are telling him how great he is, and the coach is sitting there, man, we're going to have to cut your minutes down because we got Hayward.
Same way with Brown, Jaylen Brown.
You both think that management, Stevens, Ainge, did everything they could to ease them into this situation. Ultimately, at the end of the day, this is on the players.
I think it's on Danny Ainge to go get the best talent. It is on the coach to be able to mix and match. I'm not saying it's an easy job. And unfortunately, he didn't get the job done. So in that respect, I think you give a C- right. to Brad Stevens. It doesn't mean he's a horrible coach or that he's not a terrific coach. Exactly.
And the players have to buy into their role.
Absolutely.
And if they're not.
All right, we'll talk more about this. We got a bunch of calls and reaction to the Celtics coming out with a statement on Friday about the fan who got the 1.5-year ban. Some of the reaction has been very, very interesting. We'll delve into some of that coming up. It's Wiggy and Evan Drellick. Broke a big story yesterday. If you missed it, everybody, broke a big story yesterday. They're filling in.
One scoop, no job offers.
For my two guys.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
What is your image of this city? I mean, it's not the first time something like that has happened here.
What do you mean?
Fans say things of a racial nature to a lot.
What do you mean the image of the city?
Boston has a checkered history.
Well, I mean, I think that that's an opinion that could be shared amongst a lot of different people, you know, over the course of different eras. I myself can only speak for playing here as an opponent. I've never heard anything like that, but I can only go off hearing stories. And when you hear something like that, especially of people of color, you know, I gravitate towards being on anyone's side as long as it's the right side.
A lot of comments by players and others regarding the fan who just got a, they keep on referring to it as a two-year ban. It's really a one-year ban and a few games at the end of the season. We'll get into it in a second, but a bunch of people want to talk about the Celtics right now. So we'll go through those phone calls, and then we'll get into reaction from what the Celtics did. Here's John in a car next up on OMF. Hi, John.
Hey, Glenn, can you... Let's tone it down on going with Mark James knowing basketball. The same guy.
Did I say he knew basketball?
No, we said he knows rap music.
No, right. You mentioned something. You mentioned his name in basketball.
Yeah, you said you heard him say something in basketball that stood out. Like it was, he said something good.
I said it was stupid. But go ahead.
Oh, good. Do you guys realize not 24 hours ago he was railing on Brad Stevens with whatever nickname he has? Because I'm sure he has one. Saying he should be gone, and the Celtics should go after John Calipari. I mean, in the next 24 hours, he lost, and then breaking news on ESPN like 20 minutes ago, Kentucky has offered him an extension with a lifetime deal.
In the top 50 stupid things that Mark C. James
and poor Wiggy. Poor Wiggy had to work with him yesterday.
Yeah, Wiggy could have stood up to him. Wiggy's got no balls
hours
when it comes
the
to Mark James.
Glenn Wiggy wanted me to jump ugly on him.
You should have.
Yeah.
Did no balls. You should have stood
I
up
educated.
To him.
Educated. That's what a good black man does.
Please,
educate.
Please.
A white Wiggy. Guy who doesn't know. Yes.
Wiggy, he knows some black people. Hmm. He knows black
people. I know a few black people, too.
What are you talking about, John? Have you ever had Thanksgiving dinner with Steph Curry? Answer is no. Go ahead.
He is breaking bread, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'm very good friends with Steph Curry.
The homeless shelter.
It's a chicken curry. He got confused.
That's all I'm saying. When a guy says stupid things.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to you for eating a cheeseburger.
So if I say stupid things in the next hour and a half, because it's possible. I've said stupid things many times before.
No, I'll educate
never.
You.
Yeah, you should jump ugly on me. Those are what shows
time
are all
place,
about.
Though. There's a time
Drellick
and a place
gets
to jump.
Drellick starts screaming and saying, like a crazy man.
Get under my skin.
That's what I mean. It didn't get under my skin. What I wanted to do is I wanted to do what you should do as a black man talking to a white guy who's misinformed, you try to educate.
He basically said,
yes,
you might have had a tough plight when you were growing up in life, but he had a tougher one.
Well, you know,
out in the western part of Massachusetts, tougher plight.
Black kid growing up in Eastie with a lot of Italians, it's, you know, it might not be as hard for a white kid from western Mass.
What do you think his friends thought when the only white guy he liked was Ray Bourque?
You think they call him an end lover?
And that's how fat he's growing up. Mike is in a car. Hello, Mike.
How y'all doing?
Y'all doing fine, Mike.
Are we really talking about Wiggins growing up in the mean streets of East Boston right now?
Yeah, about the mean streets of Northampton. As a pasty white kid. All right, come on.
I believe that the Boston Celtics, the story is yet to be written. I think there's a lot of there's a few more chapters left to the story, and when
like what? Playoffs, what do you think is possible that we're missing in all of this? Because I think this one, to me, is pretty obvious. I don't think they hate each other. I think you're going to find that out when the season is over and they lose. Mm-hmm. That they're going to say no, there was no hatred, and there was a matter.
Oh, there
was
in the moment hatred.
No, but there was.
When you go into the playoffs, Glenn, it's a whole different world. You're not playing Milwaukee 1 week and then playing them 3 weeks to a month later. You're playing them in a best of seven. At that point, your team will be exploited in their weaknesses. They will take advantage of your weak areas, and it's going seven games. I do agree with the fact that I think Brad has been catering to this team, these players, a little too much this year, and I think that Nets last game was probably the great example of where he finally mixed it up a little bit. And I say that in this sense because I understand Morris, who's an average player throughout his career, but he's having his best season this year, but he is not a Tatum and Brown who could actually take over a game. And I do think that's a fact there. And you're right about as far as actually, let me take that back. Wiggins, I'm going to go back to what you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to need a guy like Terry Rozier. And you can't, even though they're cutting down minutes, but you are going to need a guy like him because the reason why the Celtics were supposed to be so successful this year is based on their depth. And with the depth that they had, you're going to need a Terry Rozier, even with your players losing minutes during the playoffs. And I think you have to put Tatum and Brown in there as much as possible. That is your future going forward, as far as we know. And he's not utilizing them enough on the court.
Yeah, I think it's the future for about 4 months until they actually go and, mm-hmm. and change this thing up. Because I think you're going to end up with Anthony Davis on this team. Or maybe it's Kevin Durant.
I think your depth has to come from maybe if it's Jaylen Brown coming off the bench. Maybe if it's, you know, depending on the role that you're kind or depending on the starting lineup that you want to have. Maybe it's Marcus Morris. Maybe it's Gordon Hayward. That's where your points have to come from off the bench. I don't think Terry Rozier is the guy that you look at and go, oh, he needs to make an impact for us to win games in the postseason.
So Mike did bring up a good point that I would agree with him, and that is when you get into seven-game series,
right.
it's much different than playing one team one night, another team the next right. night, even back-to-backs or 2 out of 3 days, because you're honing in on one team and you're figuring out what their right. weakness is and you're going to exploit it. I think Stevens is pretty good at that. So from the X and O standpoint, I like him a lot.
Right.
I think it's this other stuff of he's done a great job at Butler. He was not dealing with the top-end kids.
Right.
He was dealing with the kids that couldn't get.
Dealing with two-star recruits.
Exactly.
Not dealing with those five-star
exactly.
recruits that are one and done.
Right. And the pros, he's dealing with guys that were out of place somewhere else, and he developed them into something. He hasn't been able to nurture these egos.
Right.
But the X and O part of it, I think he's damn good at. Here's Alex in the car. Alex.
Hey, how you doing? You know, last year, a lot of people confused. Kyrie Irving's one of the best players in the league, no question about it. But if you take a team to the Eastern Conference Finals or one game away from the finals, you're a good coach because you can take that team with the two supposedly best players on the offseason being hurt, and it comes back. And Kyrie isn't being a team player and constantly causing problems inside the locker room or the team all year long. That's Brad Stevens' fault?
Yeah, but what is Kyrie doing?
Everybody, I don't think he's causing any problems.
Alex, what is Kyrie doing that he's being a problem in the locker room?
Hitting game winners two nights ago. That's a problem, this apparently.
That goes, you guys are talking about Kyrie as being one of the best players, doing what he's supposed to do as one of the best players
right.
in the NBA. But when he sells out his teammates and the younger guys and everything else, and 1 minute it's good.
Maybe he's doing what he has to do to reach him. Maybe he feels like the only way to get to the younger guys who are being pig-headed or whatever is to do it publicly. What if he's doing what he thinks he needs to do to win?
He also said he was wrong for the way he went about it. So I'm going to bet you Kyrie went and maybe apologized and said, hey, I went about it the wrong way, but we need you to do this.
Was that public pressure or was that him actually thinking he's wrong?
A
little bit of both.
This stuff next year?
They won't have this. They won't have this next year. Next year they will have a more veteran group. I think Danny Ainge will make this a more veteran group next year, and that's the way they're going to get Kyrie to stay. Alex, do you think they're going to be better off if Kyrie decides he wants to take off and go with Kevin Durant to another team, let's say the Knicks or the Nets? Or
no, I don't. I don't think that. I think that they need to get that player. They have to get Anthony Davis here, but at the same point, I don't trust Kyrie hearing that he's going to stay here. Honestly, what if Kyrie packs it up and leaves and turns around and leaves Danny holding the bag?
Well, I think that is possible.
That's a risk you run.
Yeah, but I think that's possible if you're going to come back with the same team. So Kyrie's looking at this thing, and especially when you lose in the postseason, and I think they'll lose before the playoffs are over, he's going to be really frustrated.
Probably,
he doesn't want to come back with the same
Danny's
team.
But Danny's probably telling him,
Hey, Kyrie,
here's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Right. I'm making a hard push for Anthony Davis. These guys that are here now, you will not be playing.
You don't think he's asking him about his buddy, Kevin Durant?
Or even KD, whoever it may be.
He's asking him about.
But I'm willing to bet you that Danny's telling Kyrie, don't worry about these guys that maybe you're not you see eye to eye with, they won't be here next year.
So you think the only way this divorce happens is with an offer from the Celtics to stay? There's no way that the Celtics say, you know what, we're not bringing you back, Kyrie. You
no,
go on
no.
and go.
Zero chance. No. Zero. Less than zero.
They're doing everything in their power to keep Kyrie.
They want him. They know how valuable he is. They know that you need that type of player, star player, top 10 player. You need it, right, to recruit and to win. And they'll use him to get that other player, whether it's Anthony Davis in a trade, whether it's Kevin Durant, which that would have to be a sign-and-trade deal, very complicated, but they could possibly
pull it off. Brad Stevens goes, you know what, Danny, why don't you get me somebody who's not bitching about whether or not we're trapping Kemba Walker?
And who's that player?
But I would tell you this. I would tell you this, though, Evan, if you try to bring Kyrie back next year, and you say, we're keeping all the kids and we're just going to build on this. Kyrie's not in for that because Kyrie knows next year you're still a 48-win team, right. A 50-win team.
And no matter who you bring in as a superstar player of that caliber, Danny's got to be telling Brad, hey, you're going to deal with some type of problems that this guy or this diva mentality is going to have. Whether it's Kevin Durant, whether it's Anthony, that's just the way it is when you're at that level. You deal with some of the nonsense that these players will bring, but what they bring on the court is what is going to help us win championships.
Okay, players reacting this weekend, others reacting this weekend to the 1 year plus part of another year ban of this young fan under the age of 18. And interesting, especially something Marcus Smart said. We will get to all of it coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I was told by league sources that the incident occurred while the Warriors were in Boston, January 26th, that game. During that game, there was a fan who muttered the M-word at DeMarcus Cousins. And I was told DeMarcus informed one of the team security guys, and they got a hold of the security team there at TD Garden. They took care of the fan, but I was told that ultimately that fan was banned for the rest of this season and next year.
All right, that's Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports. He was the one that originally broke that story. And interesting, I'm wondering how he got it.
Was it Bradfoe?
It was not Bradfoe that broke that
story. Just check.
It was not Bradfoe.
Bradfoe's out. I don't think he's broken a story.
You know what Bradfoe's into? Bradfoe's into long form.
Dustin Pedroia?
Long form. Yeah. You're in
that. The last story he broke.
That is long.
This is the laser show.
That's a really good answer.
I bet you he gets the retirement story from Pedroia before you get it. You want to bet on that one?
I think it's already been written.
You hit the nail on the head on a lot of things.
So, I thought it was interesting how this played over the weekend. If you're the Celtics, and it's a good question a lot of people are asking, why did the Celtics just respond to it on Friday when it really happened back in January? Well, they didn't want it out there because they know how uncomfortable it is when you're dealing like something in this town, because we saw it with Adam Jones. Now, I think if they could have come to a conclusion that somebody actually did say it, and they had clear-cut evidence, whether it was somebody sitting in that section or they had some video that could verify it, they probably would come forward. But they're in an uncomfortable position when they're sitting there, because you can't sit there and say it didn't happen, because we know how people react to that. On the other hand, they tried to shelve it. Now, as it turns out, this kid and people that were there with him, whether it was family members or friends, are all denying it, mm-hmm. right? But it's irrelevant, because the kid's he's a Ute, and he didn't come forward.
Right.
So he hasn't gone to any media. And he didn't come there. So I thought it was interesting hearing the players talk about it, because it would not shock me at all.
Yeah, two Utes.
If these players have not experienced this somewhere in their career, may not be in the pros, but somewhere in their career, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, we've all dealt with it. What?
Mark James,
all former professional athletes, black professional athletes have dealt with it, you know.
So I thought it was interesting that Marcus Smart comes out and makes a comment this mm-hmm. weekend, and he basically said it happened before, but he didn't want to get into the specifics of it. So to me, that's a problem.
Mark is stupid.
Okay, so when it does happen, I really believe that that's when you have to come forward. We have to at least believe the accusations, but it does need to have a follow-up investigation, because we've got to know that you are absolutely telling the truth. And then, at that point, mm-hmm. you should take serious action against the person that right. actually did it. The problem I have with Marcus Smart doing this is Marcus Smart did come out when he was in college
right.
and actually said that somebody said it when right. he went into the stands after some fat slob fan who was sitting in the front row that was taunting him right. with whatever. He basically said he called me the N, and he totally lied and had to admit later
right.
because everybody knew, they heard the entire conversation. And now Marcus Smart is coming out and saying it's happened to him, but he doesn't want to
right. Well, that becomes
be specific.
That becomes a problem, because we already know, like, the thing about this situation, the N-word, right? It's not that easy to always have evidence, right? There are a lot of people that still don't understand, and it's for me, it's like kind of beating a guy's head into a brick wall. They just don't get it. There are people who believe that somebody can say the N-word and nobody say nothing about it. And so you don't necessarily have the evidence to prove it. So that is part of this discussion here. But people
don't you have to have somebody who's able to verify it and say I heard it?
But sometimes there's not that type of evidence. Sometimes people don't want to get involved.
That's the whole thing. People don't want to be troublemakers. They don't want to stand up and get in the way and get the public eyes.
Okay. So
becomes a problem.
Okay. It is a problem. So based on what you guys just said, as a lifelong resident of the Boston area,
mm-hmm.
this is a problem for me. So am I overly sensitive about it? Yeah, because I'm old enough mm-hmm. to remember when it was an issue.
That doesn't make me sensitive.
When as a kid, I would go to Fenway Park,
right.
and I would hear that word directed sometimes to the Red Sox players like Earl Wilson, who was pitching at the time.
Right.
Okay, people would just shout it out, and nobody would do anything. All right? But as time has gone on here, everything has changed dramatically. If we're talking about 1974, I'd sit there, Wiggy, and say, absolutely, nobody's going to come forward. Matter of fact, if anything, they're going to be protective of the guy who said it. In 2019 or 2018,
but that's the problem.
I think it's different.
What you're about to say, what you said is the problem, is that people believe in 2019 that it is impossible for somebody to use that word and nobody say nothing.
In Fenway Park, in center field with hundreds of people?
Yes,
people sitting there?
Yes.
I would say it's nearly impossible.
Right, and see, that's the problem. And me telling you, as a black person who's been called that before, that people do not want to get involved. You know, when they hear this word, especially white people.
Some people, I would agree.
And that's true, but there are some. There are some
people. We're talking about a lot
but
of
listen,
people.
Listen, there are some people. See, there are some people that will get involved. And I know that people will step in and say things. But you also have to believe, and you also have to say, I could see people not wanting to get involved in this. But there are a lot of people out there that don't want to believe that. They think that's impossible.
Okay. The situation in Utah, where the fan got the
they had evidence.
But did they did not have video No, the actual comment. No, I never saw a video of the actual.
No, they had a bunch of fans who came forward and said what he called them.
But that one guy says, I want the hard evidence.
Right. They did. They had evidence.
They had some corroboration around it, but even going back to the Adam Jones.
Isn't that good enough if you've got a bunch of people around him who said, yeah, he said boy?
Did just mouth it. What if that's actually the case, that he just mouthed it? Well, how are you going to have evidence of that?
Then people would not hear it. You're right.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that Cousins would just hone in on that one time he was mouthing it. But here's where I get sensitive about this. I think the worst thing about these stories is not necessarily we're talking about one person who's saying something that to a player on the field or on the court. Because you want to know something? It happens.
Right.
Because there are racists out there. I get that. What I don't like is the fact that the story gets out and nobody's sitting around in center field when you've got a fairly, if you're looking at the demographics out there, they're fairly young. I think probably pretty progressive, pretty liberal. Well, the city is, as you know, the numbers.
They are well off.
So. Yeah, but not necessarily racist.
I'm not saying that.
And if they hear that, I think some of them might say something. But let me just get to the point. To me, it's more damaging to the city when somebody called Adam Jones the N-word and you had 500-600 people sitting around him and did absolutely nothing. To me, that makes the city look far more racist than one a-hole who's sitting there, racist a-hole, who's calling Adam Jones the N-word. That's a lot worse.
I don't think it makes people racist because they don't want to get involved and they heard something that was a racist slur. The thing that irritates me is that when people have the mindset like yourself, like Jerry, where you know, they believe that it is impossible for people not to say something.
Nearly impossible, I said. So quote me correctly. Nearly impossible. Because nothing is impossible. And there were a lot of people that heard the Adam Jones.
Right.
And I got to believe there were quite a few that heard it here. That's why what Evan's saying makes more sense. If he's mouthing it, that makes more sense.
So I'm not saying that you don't need your evidence or you don't have the right to maybe to look at this situation and go, wait a second, you got to show me something. The problem is there so many people that quickly dismiss the fact that this could have happened because there's no hard cut clearing evidence.
I don't want to dismiss it. I want to take it. If Adam Jones tells me that somebody said that, okay, or DeMarcus Cousins says that somebody said it,
you're like, show me the evidence.
I'm sitting here going, we've got to take this seriously. Right. Now, if I do all of the investigative work, I go around and ask all these people who are regulars in center field, and I can't find a single person. We found the guy who threw a bag of peanuts at him, did we not? We found that on Adam Jones. We found that person. I want to be able to know that it actually did happen.
But what if there is no evidence out there? What if this situation, that's what I'm saying, where it's happened
then,
before.
Then it's inconclusive.
But
you can't sit there and tell me that there were all of these people, up to a thousand in center field, who were racist.
But inconclusive doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
I just said that. Right, I don't know if it happened.
But there are a lot of people who, when you say inconclusive, they'll instantly go, oh, there's no way that happened.
But you're telling me that we're just going to take any player's word for it. I don't think we can necessarily do that. I think you have to take what he says seriously.
Who would argue against an investigation? Nobody would say it.
People did. People wanted just to take Adam Jones's word for it. Just his word is good.
Well, the Red Sox said they investigated it and were able to verify it.
It's not against
they were not able to verify it.
The last I remember is they said they had evidence, but we're going back a couple years.
No, they had evidence of the person, the fan that threw a bag of peanuts at him. They did have that.
Well, remember on Twitter, there was an account from 2013 of Jones being yelled that
and they found that
from
out.
Center field. That was a separate incident.
So why didn't they do anything in 2013?
They should have.
Why did they use an incident in 2013 as evidence that it might have happened five years later?
Regardless of the incident.
That doesn't make sense to me.
But regardless of that, right, the point that we should be talking about here is that this does happen.
Absolutely.
And it can happen. And nobody do nothing about it. That's the thing that we should be discussing here, that you shouldn't instantly dismiss the fact that, because the first thing people will say, DeMarcus Cousins is a liar because you have no evidence. That's what they did with Adam Jones. He's a liar. There's no evidence. He's a liar. So when who's that reflect badly on? it reflects badly on the athlete, and the athlete is generally black. And so what that means is a black man who says they've been called the N-word or they've dealt with racism instantly has to prove where this came from for people to believe.
Can I just add on to what you just said? Mm-hmm. You said it plays badly for Adam Jones. I don't think it played that way at all.
For Adam Jones?
No. The way it played...
I'm talking about locally. I don't care about nationally.
Okay. But the way it played out there was that why don't people just take him for his word, okay? And that Boston is once again a racist city. And Wiki, I'm not denying that it wasn't in the 60s and the 70s. I'm old enough to remember those days, and it was bad. And so I'm looking at it from a different point of view in that I see the difference of where it is now. So in 1974, I would tell you nobody would have gotten up
you're verified
that he said it. In 2018, somebody would.
That's my point. You're also saying that the likelihood of somebody not saying something is very, very slim.
In 74, probably 90%.
But I'm telling you that the likelihood isn't that slim. I'm telling you it's not that slim.
Here's the problem. People like Glenn, who grew up here, I'm not from here.
Right.
I'm a New Yorker. This idea that Boston is racist clearly strikes at everybody's core. So automatically, when you have an instance like this, everybody turns to defensiveness. It becomes, how could this happen? It cannot happen. Guess what? You're not going to change national perception of this city by being defensive, by having a bunch of white people sit there and go, how could this happen? It's 2019. Boston is probably not nearly as racist as it used to be. But the conversation about which city is more racist, how do you measure it, and who at the end of the day cares? I'll sit here and tell everybody listening, Boston, you're not racist. Not every one of you in this city is racist. You and your neighbors are great people. Great. You feel better now? Do you feel good about the fact that somebody on the air told you you're not racist? Now go out and fix the problem that there are still people here who are racist.
How do you fix the problem?
You talk about the issue. You talk about how you're raising your kids. You talk about why this still exists. Not the label.
Evan, I'm a person who grew up in Boston, a black person who grew up in this city, and who's dealt with it before. Right? Yes, the city has changed from when I was 16 years old to where I am now. But there are still some things that do exist.
Well, of course. You're also an
expatriate player, right. And you're going to get treated differently than the common black guy on the street.
Of course. And that's what I'm saying. I have black friends that live in the city, that work in the city, and deal with that stuff, and they still deal with it. I might not have to deal with it on a daily basis, or I might not deal with it like... you know, that as much as I did when I was 16, but I've told the story on it where I still deal with it for people who don't know me, right? People who don't know me as Jermaine Wiggins, former Patriots player, NFL player, they just see another black guy. There are things that I still deal with.
No, I know that.
Former Viking player.
My point is that people just want to be told you're not racist. People just want to hear that.
Evan, you're missing a vital point into this, and people are using that. Now, they shouted at anybody that they disagree with politically, you're a racist, okay?
And Stephen A. Smith saying Boston wants a white star is an irresponsible comment.
Right.
Because it takes too serious an issue.
So why does he say that?
That's clickbait.
No, he says it because ignorant information continues to go out to the national media.
But then we end up
Because we get an incident like the one I just told you about in which... there are probably 1,000 people in the vicinity that could have heard the Adam Jones thing. Mm-hmm. There are probably, I don't know, 15 or 20 people that could have heard this kid at the Boston Garden. And so when nobody comes forward, if I'm a Stephen A. Smith, I'm sitting there going, what a racist city.
Somebody has to say it.
There isn't a person sitting in the stands that's going forward. So, yes, that is one reason some people would like to have some type of verification.
You can't listen to people like Stephen A.
And then put the hammer down on those
Stephen A. Smith, Rob Pock. You can't listen to these people because they're not the voice of the black people that are living in Boston, working in Boston on a daily basis.
Yeah, but it's the image. He was talking about how sensitive we are here in Boston, and he's right.
But
he's
then
correct.
We start talking
we're
all about
sensitive
the image.
Because of the way that we're being portrayed nationally. and it's no different than L.A. It's no different than a lot of these other cities in America who have had race riots,
right,
over the years.
The portrayal, the way it's portrayed, it comes with a lot of the history stuff, and that's the problem. So when you got guys...
It's not 1974
right,
anymore.
But when you got guys like Stephen
A. I was pretty good in 74.
Wow, I believe you were. But when you got guys like Stephen A. Smith and Rob Parker, and when I played, and I remember guys would come here to Boston... And, you know, players would come to New England and they would say, hey, is it really that bad here? Like, because that was the perception that they had. And I would say, no, but there are situations that you're going to run into, you know.
Great. So you just did it, right? You just put everybody's fears to bed. Stephen A. Smith goes too far. These media members go too far. You know, you listener, you know intellectually that not everybody in a city is the same. You know that. You don't need me to tell you that. You don't need Glenn to tell you that.
Oh, great. I can sit in a room by myself and say, intellectually, I know I'm not racist.
But we end up talking more about what Stephen A.
It's the impression that the town
argument
has.
Shouldn't be about what Stephen A. Smith says. The argument should be about...
It's not just Stephen A. Smith, guys. It is virtually every
body out there. Are you fighting the label
there.
Or are you fighting
Saturday
racism?
Saturday Night Live. Let's go to Saturday Night Live. Michael Che. Let's go look at skits that they're doing that are all directed towards Boston.
Right.
Okay? Come on.
But you don't believe, like, now I know the Michael Che stuff, right? And I think he exaggerated a little bit on 30 people looked at him when he walked into a restaurant.
Listen, I like Rob Parker. I do like Rob Parker. Rob Parker's whole idea that he went into a steak restaurant and they wouldn't butterfly his steak is ridiculous. Matter of fact, we've invited him up here to take him out for a good steak, and we'll get it butterflied.
You can't butterfly a steak. I don't care.
Well, you know, there you go.
You shouldn't be butterflying a steak.
I'm with you there.
Black or white.
But I think people make stuff up right now.
But I still
because it plays to the impression, but there's also
a thing, Glenn, that you guys do. And when I say you guys, you know, you guys, you, Jerry.
What do you mean, you guys?
And a lot of people.
You people.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's also a thing that you do, and it's that, he's lying. Even with the Michael Che stuff.
What did I say to you? I didn't say he was lying. I said you have to take him seriously. But I would like to get some type of evidence.
Hold on, then it becomes inconclusive to me. Even with the Michael Che stuff, like, you think that it would be completely impossible for a black guy to walk into a restaurant and people staring at him and looking at
him. Totally possible.
Right, but they believe that stuff doesn't happen. It's 2019. There's no way that can happen. There's no way a black guy can go into a restaurant and people look at him funny.
He said the music stopped, didn't he?
Yeah, well, there's no way that. Stop the music. I've walked into a restaurant before and the music has stopped.
It has?
Yeah, because I told the DJ, man, change this beat.
All right, here's what I want to get to next, and we'll get to these phone calls. We don't know what this kid said.
No.
So, but they said it was not racist, right? That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Verbally abusive. Okay. I don't know what that means.
So what is verbally abusive? Because I hate to tell you, if you go to these games, you will hear stuff directed at the team that we're supposed to hate, like the Yankees or, you know, the Lakers or whatever, that is abusive.
I'm very
abusive.
When I go to Celtics games, I am very verbally abusive to those athletes.
So we've got to figure out what the demarcation point is in
you
here.
Guys suck.
What is acceptable, what is not?
Because now we're
on a slippery slope here.
You're
fat. See, when they say that to me, pisses me off. That's it. We'll get to it next.
Go get your pillowcase, put your holes in it because you are a racist, sir.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.